David, I love that candle you're burning. You seem to always have a great candle burn.
I am very aware of how a room smells. When you've spent over a decade with a 75-pound Labrador Retriever and two teenage boys, you start to worry that your house smells like the inside of a gym bag.
I would imagine so.
You know what I wish we'd had for the last decade?
What?
That Puro Air purifier we now own and use all the time.
I love my Puro Air too. Did you know that indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air?
Yes, I lived with two teenage boys. I can 100% testify to that.
In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room.
Gases from a preteen boy?
I'm dreading when my nephews start making those gases.
Just you wait. Thankfully, Puro Air uses a stronger type of filter called HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT.
You wouldn't drink unfiltered tap water, so why would you breathe unfiltered air?
Thanks to my Puro Air purifier, I feel like I can breathe again.
Check it out at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com.
One more time, getpuroair.com. Check it out now.
Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in. Dr. Michael Gurian is a marriage and family counselor in private practice and the New York Times bestselling author of 32 books published in 23 languages. As a social philosopher, he has pioneered efforts to bring neurobiology and brain research into homes, schools, corporations, and public policy. The Gurian Institute, which he co-founded, conducts research internationally, launches pilot programs, and trains professionals. He also has a podcast called The Wonder of Parenting Podcast, a brain science approach to parenting. You can find his work at michaelgurian.com. Enjoy this conversation with someone we have respected and admired his work for decades. Dr. Gurian, we have long admired your work. It is an honor to have you as a guest on the podcast. Will you begin by just telling us a little bit about yourself and the work you do?
Yep. So I'm Michael Gurian. I began studying child development quite early, obviously about 30, 35 years ago. And I gradually, I'm a therapist used to be a college professor. Then the Gurian Institute developed. So for the last 25 years, the Gurian Institute, you know, certifies trainers and we do all of this boys and girls work. Boys and girls learn differently, you know, all of that out in communities and schools. I moved into really looking at the neuroscience starting in the late 80s, early 90s. And so probably the book, The Wonder of Boys, which was my fifth published book, that was the one where I started saying, we gotta add neuroscience into, you know, boy, girl, male, female. And so a lot of my work, you know, does that. And I also have a Substack and I write fiction and poetry. And so I am a writer, but known professionally for this kind of work. And then Tim Wright and I have a podcast, The Wonder of Parenting Podcast, doing similar to what you're doing in terms of giving people advice and helping them with their boys and girls. So kind of all over the map in terms of work, I guess. I have my wife, Gail. Gail unfortunately passed away of pancreatic cancer last August. So that was
so
very fast,
sorry.
Very tragic, absolutely a terrible thing. But, you know, regrouping, I have two daughters, both of whom are married in their 30s. So that's kind of my bio.
Well, thank you for telling us that. And we're so sorry to hear about your wife.
Yes.
Pancreatic cancer is awful.
No one wants pancreatic cancer. I've never seen anything as devastating, at least in my experience.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was thinking when you were talking about the wonder of boys, how often David has used that book in his work with boys and me, The Wonder of Girls, with my book with girls. Just so grateful. And it was fun to learn more about you and all that you have done, because there's a lot over the years. And so, I mean, you have practiced as a therapist, obviously conducted decades of research. You are the New York Times bestselling author of 32 books published. I don't know how you did that, in 23 languages. And so as you've devoted your life to this work, sincerely, what would you say are the biggest changes you've seen with kids and families over the years? And what are some foundational needs that have stayed the same?
Yeah, I think, you know, child development needs basically stay the same, right? They're long term and go back millennia. But changes, yeah, they're the digital, of course, is a massive change. Yes. and a useful one in some ways, but also very dangerous to brain development of children. Also, you know, family. So two things on family that have happened. One is the breakdown to some extent of the extended family. Because kids used to, you know, in The Wonder of Boys, I called it the three family system. Children always used to be developed, and the race doesn't matter. The culture doesn't matter. Kids were developed in three family systems. They had a somewhat nuclear unit. They had the extended family wraparound. Then they had the tribe or the community. And that's how children, all children, developed and developed, you know, well enough. But we have a breakdown of that over the last 30 to 50 years, depending on when you start counting. So not only has nuclear family broken down, sometimes it has to, sometimes divorce has to occur. It can break down, but the breakdown of the extended family too, and the lack of connection for kids with five or six other people who are like second mothers, second fathers, that's really significant too. And so I think both of those and the digital, you know, are having a profound effect on child development.
Mm. Yes.
You are considered one of the world's foremost gender experts. And Sissy mentioned we love The Wonder of Boys and The Wonder of Girls, and also have loved Boys and Girls Learn Differently, which is a guide for teachers and parents. And would love to ask you, just what challenge or encouragement would you offer to parents and educators around how kids learn differently?
Yeah, the first thing all teachers and parents, hopefully, and counselors, everyone involved, is just study this neuroscience. And it's not hard to study. I mean, we've made it, you know, easy, accessible, so that we can see, you know, how differently these brains operate. And while we are all human, and while there will be exceptions to what I'm going to say, of course, there's 8 billion people. So of course, there'll be exceptions. But basically, the male and the female brain develop on different trajectories in utero. So by 6 months in utero, the male and the female brain have differentiated. So when children come out, they come out with what we call differentiated brains. In other words, boys and girls have differentiated brains. Now, I developed the term 30 some years ago of a bridge brain to talk about those brains that you can see are bridging male and female. There are some females who would come up to me, like at corporate trainings I was doing, and they would say, wow, I think more male. And there are, you know, boys who highly sensitive boys and who are really good with verbal emotives, talking about their feelings, et cetera. And we would, you know, look at them and go, oh yeah. And they would feel like, oh, I think more female, you know, and yeah, they're bridge brains. Folks are bridge brains. And there are new categorizations, of course, over the last 5 to 10 years, and all sorts of politics around it. For me, it's always existed, always been bridge brains. And the differentiation is robust, and it's robust worldwide. So, and the race and the culture don't matter, right? I mean, it exists in all races, all cultures, male, female brain. So if teachers don't know about this, and universities have a lot of politics that keep them from teaching this to teachers, so if teachers don't know, they set up classrooms, and without realizing it, they set up classrooms that are much better suited to the female brain than the male. So that's why most of the kids lost in education are boys. And that's true all the way back in preschool. So, and that's the primary reason. if we did teach everyone about this, right? If everyone did see these brain scans and say, oh my gosh, you know, everywhere I go to speak and everything I do on Zoom, everything, I show brain scans, right? So that people can see the science. If everyone saw this, like the schools the Gurian Institute works in, where we're doing our programs, the gender gaps, the reading gaps, the achievement gaps, the discipline gaps, those dissipate or disappear when everyone in the system understands how male and female brain operate. And then, of course, the classrooms adjust, the parents adjust, the way they talk to boys, the way they talk to girls, and a lot of these problems dissipate. But there's so much politics, especially in academia, about this that, you know, wonderful people who are becoming teachers and counselors don't learn about it. And then a lot of parents don't learn about it.
Yes. Well, obviously, you have done a lot of research on boys and girls over the years. And would you say there's been anything that surprised you in your research on girls or your research on boys and both?
I think one surprise is how resistant our culture is to the science, you know, just all the politics and the resistance. I mean, I kind of got it 35 years ago when I was starting out, but now, you know, still the resistance, still all this politics, doesn't make sense to me. In terms of individual kids, I mean, I think one of the things that's so, I don't know about surprising, but so powerful for girls is that, and it links to the first thing I said, is that so much of what happens for them starting from 8 or 9 on is related to brain and hormonology. And then the effect of like digital on brain and hormonology, the effect of, you know, TikTok on brain. And there are a lot of things going on there that we all need to pay attention to, mood issues, depression, anxiety. And of course, all these things in girls have gone up, COVID, post-COVID. And a large reason, it's not just social isolation, but another reason is the digital. There are just too many hours in front of screens with fast moving TikTok images. So that would be something big on the girl side. And something big on the boy side, I think, is also related is how the testosterone. So male testosterone has gone down over the last 30 years, around 30%. And that's actually a huge deal because boys don't go out, or young men don't go out and kill people, you know, because their testosterone is high. They go out and kill people and hurt other people because they're depressed. And low testosterone, right, is comorbid with depression for males. And we have a lot of depressed males. And I guess it surprises me that people are not, you know, understanding this, that they're still using old language like, oh, those boys who killed people were high testosterone or had testosterone poisoning or everything else, except they're depressed. And male depression is a really dangerous disease for a society. Yeah, so that's something that really worries me on the male side.
David, you know I have dreamed for a long time about taking Henry with us on one of our speaking engagements, and it finally happened this month when he went to Huntsville with us.
I referred to him as our road manager. We paid him in gummies and Legos.
And the best part was on the last day of our event when he ended up speaking with us.
Yes, he did. He was center stage by the end of our talk.
We are not kidding. Andy signed books with us.
And handed out Sour Patch Kids to people.
One of my favorite parts of the weekend was taking him to the Space Museum.
He gave me a history lesson in space travel.
I bet he did.
Well, I'm about to give you a brief lesson in the history of toilet paper.
Okay, let's hear it.
The first perforated toilet paper rolls were introduced in 1890. But it wasn't until 1930 that we officially had, you ready for this, splinter-free tissue.
Wow.
Prior to that, people just used what was on hand, corn cobs, parchment, and even pages from the Farmer's Almanac.
I am so thankful to have not lived during that time in history.
Me too. But nowadays, we're clear-cutting our forest just to make something that we use once and flush down the toilet.
That's why I love real paper.
Real makes a sustainable toilet paper that contains no trees and instead uses 100% bamboo. Real's paper is certified by the Forest Stewardship Council, meaning that they are responsibly harvesting the bamboo grass that's used for their paper.
And while the other conventional tree-based papers are wrapped in plastic in the grocery aisle, Real Paper's packaging is plastic-free, compostable, and offers free shipping on all orders.
Real partners with One Tree Planted, and with every box of Real that you buy, they are funding reforestation efforts across the country. So unlike the other TP that cuts down trees, Real is helping to actively plant them.
I love companies that make great products and are doing great things.
Me too. And I love this product. Real Paper is available in easy, hassle-free subscriptions or for one-time purchases on their website.
All orders are conveniently delivered to your door with free shipping in 100% recyclable, plastic-free packaging.
If you head to realpaper.com/RBG and sign up for a subscription using our code RBG at checkout, you'll automatically get 30% off your first order and free shipping.
That's realpaper.com/RBG or enter promo code RBG to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping.
So let's stop flushing our forests and try Real's tree-free paper. Real is paper for the planet.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
Thank you for speaking to that. And it is a great lead into the next question I wanted to ask you. So I loved your book, Raising Boys by Design. And the subtitle of that book is What the Bible and Brain Science Reveal About What Your Son Needs to Thrive. And our practice at Daystar is faith-based, and we're equally fascinated by that intersection of those two things. And would just love to ask you, what were some of your favorite findings from that book?
I'll tell you, my most favorite finding. Okay, so I'm Jewish, right? And I wrote that book with Dr. Gregory Jantz, who's a fundamentalist Christian. And we were friends, and we had worked together. We had done Helping Boys Thrive events together and all sorts of things. And, you know, and so when Waterbrook Multnomah said, why don't you do this book? You know, initially I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not Christian. Should I? I'm Jewish. I mean, I'm a believer, but right. It's different. So it was like, huh, you know, but the decision was made that I would just bring the brain science in. Right. And Dr. Jantz, Greg would bring in Bible. And I'll tell you what surprised me and really moved me was that in about 90 to 95% of what the brain science is showing and the Bible is saying, there's a match. So that's a lot.
Wow.
You know, that's huge. So that really moved me. And I think it's very interesting. It ought to be interesting for secular readers and for Christian readers, that there is a match, that what you have to interpret things a certain way, obviously, but that there are some things going on that have been going on for millennia, you know, that make sense and that match up. The past and the future and the present can match up. That was the biggest deal to me.
Thank you.
We really respect the work that you're doing at the Gurion Institute. Will you talk more about that work and how you're hoping to equip and encourage parents, educators, and administrators there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's we're trying to get everyone involved, because if we just train teachers and the parents, right, don't hear from us or hear about it, then they'll go, what are the teachers doing? You know, and that's wrong. So we want to get everyone involved. And so, yes, so the Gurion Institute, that's at gurioninstitute.com, and it's pretty much all there. We train teachers, we train administrators, we train parents. We're getting everyone involved in the Boys and Girls Learn Differently and the Minds of Boys and Girls. Those are kind of the two overarching phrases to show people, like, how do you alter your English classroom to be the best fit for both boys and girls? How do you alter your math? How do you alter your science? How do you do, you know, PE and gym? In other words, across the board and across the curriculum, if we want to have effective teachers, those teachers have to teach to boys and teach to girls, because they're teaching to brains, and the male brain and the female brain are different brains. Same with parents. You know, parents will have questions about, well, how do I help them do homework? My girls just sit down and do it. My boys don't, you know, or, you know, and, or whatever it is that they're presenting with. Administrators, you know, they're constantly getting hit with discipline referrals. And most of the discipline referrals are for boys. There is an increase lately among girls, especially in certain areas. Overall, though, you know, mostly it's the boys who get in trouble. Well, so the Gurion Institute, that's part of our reason for existing. So our early data in our pilots in the 90s, we did 2 years of pilots through the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and 6 school districts. The early data showed not only did all the grades go up for both boys and girls, not only did the test scores go up for both boys and girls, but the discipline referrals went down, sometimes 80 to 90%. So part of what we're doing is helping them get the strategies, administrators and teachers, counselors, get the strategies to use with the boys and girls so that, number one, a lot of the stuff that kids used to get sent to the principal for, mainly boys were getting sent, they're not sent anymore. The teachers are going, oh, okay, that's how boys bond. That's how boys, and that boy's actually learning. He's rolling around the floor, but he learned really well. He got an A, you know, so a lot of that stuff's not going to the principal anymore. And then also the boys are better behaved, and the girls as well, because the classroom management has shifted. It's really well done now for the brains of these kids. And so kids don't have to act out as much. They don't have to, you know, try to get attention or talk back to the teacher or whatever, because things are working better for them. So the Gurion Institute, we've existed for 26 years now, and we train trainers. So we have a number of trainers who go around and do the trainings. And then I, of course, go around as well. And then we do a lot of online classes and trainings. And that's at gurioninstitute.com.
Can Thanks I ask one quick follow-up question?
Please.
I would love for you, if you just had kind of one teaser for parents. I mean, I'm thinking particularly about parents of boys who are struggling to get them to do their homework. Is there a takeaway, kind of one nugget you would offer?
Oh, yeah. I'll go multiple because I talk fast, so I can give more value.
Okay.
Let's say, number one, that male brain goes to a rest state where it goes completely blank. And so we need to keep that in mind. The female brain does not. So when the boys come home, you know, it's often they need to go for a run or punch the punching bag or throw the ball back and forth or do their chores or do any number of things to transition them. So coming home and then sitting down and doing homework often is the wrong move. It's going to create a lot of issues. Everyone's going to fight, you know, et cetera. but it's wrong for their brains, right? So get them moving around, throwing balls back and forth, all the spatial stuff. Have them do things that give them a half hour to an hour, and that would include athletics. And then also make sure they've eaten, right? So if they're doing athletics, like let's say athletics are 3 to 5, probably don't do the homework at 5. Have them eat, you know, get some sustenance, do something else together, bonding, and then, you know, do the homework. And then while trying to get them to do the homework, let's say, if they're having trouble writing or doing something, let them move around, throw balls back and forth, because this triggers the right side of the male brain. The right side of the female brain's already triggered, doesn't need extra triggering, but the male brain, it does. So the ball back and forth helps with that, squeezing a squeeze ball, anything that will get the spatials involved so that then they can settle down and do the words. Those are a few takeaways.
Ooh, that's so helpful. I love that. Thank you so much. Good.
You bet.
You wrote a great book called Nurture the Nature. The subtitle is Understanding and Supporting Your Child's Unique Core Personality. We talk a lot with parents about becoming students of the kids they love. And what would you say were some of the findings from this book that you would offer to parents?
I love the way you put it. So Nurture the Nature is probably just like what you're doing, where the big philosophy, the reason I wrote it, sort of the parenting philosophy part, is I do not just brain research, but genetics research. So since 2003, it's very clear that every child comes in with a genetic template and package that includes their talent set, you know, all sorts of things, and their personality. And then it also might include the ragged edges on any chromosomes that could create brain disorders, mood disorders, or, you know, other things on personality. So since they come in with this, my feeling has always been, okay, we can go one of two directions as parents and as a culture. We can impose on children something from the outside and say, well, this is the value, you know, and usually I call that social trends parenting, where there's some new value has popped up, right? There's a lot of social media about it now. Before, it was just media that says, here's what you have to do for your child, right? You have to do music when the child's in the womb, or you have to do, you know, and there are all these social trends. So we can either use these social trends to parent, or I think, and of course it'll be a combo, or we can nurture the nature of the child. So that would mean studying the child. And I think that's what you're getting at. Study the child's personality, study the child's talent sets. And to some extent, that means giving the child opportunities so we can study the child. Like if we never give the child any opportunities to play music or to do sports or whatever, well, we don't know who the child is. But if we give them these opportunities, and only a few at a time, not 10 or 20, but a few at a time, one sport, one extracurricular like music, friendship groups, school, and we can study them and we can see who they are. And that will help us guide and direct them. So we'll be nurturing their nature as opposed to pitting their nature against some social trend that we've picked up this week, and we're bombarded by social trends. So this was a way to help parents to not have to get into all the social trends, but to study their child and give the child what the child needs. And of course, that continues along with boy and girl, because male and female are huge in terms of the nature of a child. They're not everything, but they're huge. You know, and hence Raising Boys and Girls, right? Your podcast, hence our own, you know, it's we got to get at the nature, and that means we got to include boy, girl. And by the way, that includes bridge brains and all exceptions, et cetera. We can see what that nature is and enhance that. That's why I wrote that. And what it does is it lays it out. It kind of stages everything. How you can look at the boy at 2, the boy at 5, the girl at 2, the girl at 5, 7, 10, teenage years, and just kind of go, okay, all right, I'm figuring out the nature of this child. Here are some personality surveys we can use. Here are interactions we can use, and we'll figure out their nature and we'll nurture that.
It just changes everything to study really based on who they are and what they need versus, as you said, whatever we're catching on in the trend that seems to be the right thing currently to do. It just feels backed by science, feels more thoughtful, feels more in tune with where kids are. So yeah, just so grateful.
Sissy, did I tell you that a mom who listens to our podcast stopped me in the airport recently to show me that she had packed her Hiya vitamins for the trip with her kids?
Really? Did you tell her you'd packed yours too?
I sure did. I told her that I had to leave the bottle Hiya sent me that I decorated with stickers at home.
Henry keeps his bottle at my house. I love that Hiya sends eco-friendly refills for that bottle every month.
Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy junk growing kids should never eat.
That's why Hiya was created, the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin.
Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full-body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they love.
Formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, and mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more.
Hiya is designed for kids of all ages, including kids my age, and sent straight to your door so parents have one less thing to worry about.
We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/RBG. This deal is not available on their regular website.
Go to hiyahealth.com/RBG and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Another thing that we love that you're doing is that we share your passion for helping kids and teenagers both find their way to purpose. You have written some wonderful content around this topic, and we would love for you to say a little bit about why you believe it's important and also how parents can really support their kids finding meaning, significance, and direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So that book, The Purpose of Boys, right, was kind of the book I was trying to get out there to maybe help people to reset this in motion, the development of purpose. And all children need purpose, of course. And however, there is a male-female difference that's significant, and I talk about it in that book. So males are going to produce trillions of fertile sperm in a lifetime, or potentially fertile. Females are going to produce approximately 300 fertile eggs in a lifetime. So that's a scientific fact that's also metaphorical for a massive amount of what's going on in the world. And throughout human history, because girls menstruated, and because it was very clear what their purpose was. Now, we know in modern times that men and women are equal and women can do it, men can do it, et cetera. So it's not a limiting to her. She doesn't just have children, no. But everyone always knew that she had a built-in purpose, and they all always knew that boys did not. All that happens for boys is they get hair, they grow taller, everything grows bigger, you know, and but remember that trillions and trillions of fertile sperm, right? They don't have something going on for them that's like menstruation and that's like carrying a child. And so every culture knew that and knew that they had to take their males out and they had to bond them with elder males. Of course, they're very bonded with their mom. So it wasn't anti-mom or anything. They're already very bonded with mom and grandparents, but they had to take them out with males starting at puberty and pre-puberty, and they had to start giving them purpose. And that would include vision quests, that would include rites of passage, sweat lodge, I'm Jewish, so bar mitzvah. That can include confirmation. And they did it over a period of years. And they trained these guys to have purpose. And in a tribal world, they had purpose that was all about taking care of family and tribe, and then whatever was the crop or nomadic life, hunting. Then as we became, you know, more modern, it still went on. There were still bar mitzvahs, there were still confirmation, but it gradually was falling away, you know? And then certainly in the last 50 to 60 years, there's been such a backlash culturally against males having a role, against them having a purpose. And that backlash, you know, was created initially, I think, with good purpose. In other words, the early feminist movement was trying to say, hey, if the males have a role, then you're not giving females a role. So, right. So there's all that fight. And what we really should have done is we should have said, look, everyone's equal. women and men are equal. Absolutely. And they develop differently. So we have to still give males a purpose. And so Pastor Tim Wright and I, he called me about 20 years ago and asked me to help his church. And we became very good friends. And we do our Wonder of Parenting podcast together. He and I are on that together. And he and I developed over a period of years rites of passage experiences that were built on my heroic model that's in The Purpose of Boys. And those are a way for us to say, yes, you can, you know, everyone can do this. Everyone can give their boys a purpose, and they'll still be giving their girls a purpose, but everyone can give their boys a purpose in a way that's male specific and that guys will grab onto, and that will also increase the bond between elder males and the boys, because you got to have the bond, right, to do the teaching. So you're getting the bond, and the father-son bond and the elder male bond with the boys. And meanwhile, they're learning values and all sorts of important moral lessons and lessons about self. And all of that, you know, is sort of the purpose of boys. And so what we want is for them to have a purpose by the time they're 18 to 20 to 22, like they really know they are going to have a purpose, and it'll be multiple things, but they have a sense that I am living with purpose. If they do that, they're going to wreak much less havoc on a society, and they're just going to be great, you know, better dads, better friends, better community members, right? It's males without purpose that should absolutely scare us.
Yes.
Yes.
I've long believed that. I love all of what you've offered in that space, and all of what you have offered this conversation. We don't want it to end. It has been so rich and meaningful to share this conversation with you. And we like end with something fun and food related. We'll ask those questions in a minute. But first, will you just tell folks where they can find your work so we make sure we've covered all the bases in terms of what you're doing?
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, the Gurian Institute website is gurianinstitute.com, G-U-R-I-A-N, gurianinstitute.com. And that's kind of a mothership for anyone in the professional sphere. MichaelGurian.com is my website. It's linked to everything as well. I have a Substack, MichaelGurian.substack.com, if people want to subscribe there and join. And then we have the Wonder of Parenting podcast, a brain science approach, where basically I'm answering parent questions, you know, and going into the brain science. So I think those are probably the best way to get me. If people want to get books, of course, just go to Amazon and you'll see, type my name in.
Great.
And get the books. You. Get all the books. We are such fans.
Oh, it's too many. All it's those too resources. Many
books. Well, the ones we've talked about maybe would be a good place to start.
Yeah, I have a writing disorder, so... I can't stop writing.
And we're grateful you can.
Yes,
we have benefited. We're grateful. Okay, we like to move from the substantive to the silly. We're going to move from parenting to food, and would love to ask you a two-part question. Part one is queso or guac, and then part two is what's your favorite taco?
Guac for me and fish tacos.
Great choices.
Yes.
Outstanding. Well, we have some great spots in Nashville. If you ever find your way here, we'd love to take you to one of those and say thank you again for offering your wisdom and voice to this time. Thank you.
And to the world. We're just so grateful for you.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Have me on anytime. And thank you for you too. You guys are doing incredible work. So mutual admiration.
Yes, definitely. If you are enjoying the Raising Boys and Girls podcast, click follow on your podcast listening app to subscribe and not miss an episode.
Join us next time for another episode where we'll bring you help and hope on your journey of raising boys and girls.